This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with Sandra Aaliyah, a certified food addiction counselor and a pioneer in the field of overcoming addictive eating, and is passionate about patient advocacy. And Sandra, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome, and looking forward to being informed here on the topic of food addiction. So for starters, tell us about your own journey recovering from food addiction.
For sure. I'm really at a unique place in my life that I've had 15 years of my life where I was considered morbidly obese, and I've had the last 15 years of my life where I've been at a healthy body size. So I can really speak to the dramatic differences and what life feels like in those two different bodies. You know, if I go back in time over 15 years ago, it was really difficult to be 29 years old, over 100 pounds overweight, trying to navigate a world really not made for my size at all. And I wish that I could tell you that it was just my weight and my eating that was out of control, but it really touched every single area of my life. I was in a bad marriage and it was breaking down. I was trying to take care of my mom, who was living with bipolar disorder and obesity herself. I was experiencing crippling depression, and I was on extended sick leave from work. So it was really a rock bottom time in my life. And, you know, 15 years of just trying to search for a way out, trying to find that magic diet that a lot of us are kind of looking for and thinking, if we could just figure it out, then we could get on with our lives. So it wasn't until I realized that I was using food in a way that, you know, a problem drinker uses alcohol. I was kind of using food to pain relief, to numb out, to comfort, and like a drug, any old drug. And then eventually that drug kind of took over my entire life. So the turning point for me was when I did realize that I was a food addict, and identifying my trigger foods. So trigger foods are foods that we obsess about. Once we start eating, it's very difficult to stop. And generally, they all have refined sugar in them or refined flours, like the pizzas and the pastas. No one's really addicted to chicken and broccoli. And so I eliminated those trigger foods, and as a result, it lessened the cravings for them. And I was able to eat less naturally because I wasn't, you know, igniting this dopamine rush every time I had sugary foods. And began exercising, and lost over 100 pounds 15 years ago.
And I'd say that is awfully incredible. That is very, very awesome. Tell us, what is food addiction for those that aren't so familiar?
Yeah, so for a lot of people, they get a little bit confused with emotional eating and food addiction. And the reason for that is our brain kind of links things up. And so, you know, if you're feeling sad or depressed and you eat some ice cream, momentarily you'll feel better, and your brain will link that up. And your brain is all about the path of least resistance, and neurons that fire together, wire together, and habits form. And so there are definitely people who are emotional eaters. Certainly I started off as an emotional eater, and then you cross the line and it becomes more of a dependency. And so there are a couple of hallmarks with addiction. One of them is increased tolerance. So what does that mean in terms of food? Well, there was a time when I could open a box of cookies and maybe have one or two and put the box away, but I have an increased tolerance. So once that box is open, it's sort of screaming at me, yelling at me until I finish the entire box, and I don't have peace until it's all gone, whether that's potato chips for some people or whatever your trigger food is. So that's one of the hallmarks. The other one is you have consequences from your eating and your weight that you do not want, but yet you cannot stop. So you have consequences like lack of mobility, depression, diabetes, and you know they're linked to your eating and you know they're linked to your weight, but somehow you can't seem to get a grasp on it. And another and final hallmark of addiction is persistent attempts at cutting down and failing. And so that's what we call yo-yo dieting, right? People have tried for many, many years to control what they're eating, and maybe they failed several times, and they start to internalize that and believe that they're the failure. And I'm here to say you're not the failure. The diet has failed you 100%, but you are not the failure. And likely dieting is probably the worst thing a food addict can do, because it's trying to tell you to have moderation, figure out how to have a little bit of your drug and move on with your day, where often it is much more peaceful to not have it at all once you get through withdrawal. And that's the other hint with food addiction. Do you go through withdrawal when you try to cut down on sugar products and flour products?
And thanks for your input there. Most helpful. Now, talk to us about how you have influenced the medical community in the treatment of obesity management.
Yeah, for sure. This has really been a passion of mine. I'm a patient advocate. What people don't, or I should say people are starting to understand, is that when you live with obesity or elevated weight for years, if not decades, you begin to affect the brain. And we need to start treating obesity at the level of the brain. So what does that mean? People who have lived with obesity will experience food cues in a more intense and in dramatic way. So a food cue could be seeing a plate of cookies or walking by a bakery. We have brain scans to prove that the person living with obesity, or maybe somebody who's yo-yoed with their weight, their reward center of their brain lights up more than someone who's been weight stable. So they're more drawn to those foods. It's harder for them to resist. And if that isn't enough of disadvantage, when we eat, people living with obesity, they don't get the same satisfaction. You know, it's eating highly processed foods floods our brain with dopamine that eventually we become desensitized to the dopamine. And that translates into not having the same satisfaction. Sort of people will describe it as their full switch is broken. But now we have the science and the functional MRIs to see what's going on in the brain, and that we start treating it as a brain disease or condition coupled with really attacking our thinking around eating.
Certainly appreciate the focus here and all the information so far. Most helpful and appreciated today. We are with Sandra Aaliyah, Certified Food Addiction Counselor and a pioneer in the field of overcoming addictive eating, and is passionate about patient advocacy here on eHealth Radio's Addiction Prevention and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, talk to us about what is appetite correction?
Yeah, so people who are in my program, the Food Addiction Recovery Program, will tell me that they achieve appetite correction. And that for me is such a huge success, because you're no longer fighting food or resisting food, but rather your appetite corrects itself. So for tens of thousands of years, humans have been on Earth and they have been able to naturally regulate what they eat and their weight. And then something went very, very wrong about 70 or 80 years ago, and you can really kind of match it to when high fructose corn syrup hit our diets. And it was a very cheap way for food manufacturers to add sugar to our diet, and that processing of foods doesn't allow us to regulate our appetite. It's very difficult. You know, we often laugh, you can't just eat one chip once you open the bag. That's actually not funny. It's science. They've made those chips in such a way that you cannot just eat one.
And how about that? And no surprise as well. How can one manage food cravings? That is such a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. So what I help my clients see is that once you make a decision, that's the first step. You need to make a decision about what your eating plan is. And then whenever you have a thought that goes against your eating plan, I call it a lie. And that really helps people kind of identify, right, there is no good reason to have sugar or flour. So, you know, maybe you're not a food addict. Maybe you're like yourself and you've decided, listen, Monday through Thursday, I just want to stay away from sugar and I don't want to have any. Now it's Tuesday night and the thought comes in, you know what, it would be really nice to have an ice cream. So now you can identify the thought and be like, that's a lie. There's actually, no, it wouldn't be really nice. And I don't feel good after I eat it. And I've made a commitment not to eat it. So I give my clients three steps. The one is to call it out as a lie. The second is to understand that it's just a little glitch in your brain. That glitch in your brain could be, it's habit time. Every night at 8 o'clock, you always eat something in front of the TV. So it's just like a little glitch saying, where's our snack? Or it could be a dopamine rush because you saw a commercial and you think, wow, I really want that. And then lastly, I tell people to take three deep, deep cleansing breaths, because when you're in the midst and in the grips of a craving, and for some people, cravings are overwhelming, immediate, and intense, those three cleansing breaths just gives you a moment to pause and make a better decision. So that's what I offer listeners, you know, call it a lie, look for the brain glitch, and then take those three cleansing breaths.
Now, Sandra, I understand you have a food addiction recovery program. Talk to us more about what you offer there.
Yeah, so I run Ontario's only outpatient program. It is a one-year program. It is a virtual program. So I have people all over the United States, Canada, Europe, Mexico, who come in on Wednesday nights via Zoom, which is a virtual classroom, which is very similar to Skype. And we recover together. So my program is built on three pillars. So if you can imagine a house, at the base of the house is you. And we need to get you into a really good place internally. So everybody flourishes in an environment that is kind, gentle, and nurturing. And so first step is getting that beautiful internal environment where you can succeed. Then the three pillars of the house, the first one is eliminating our trigger foods, helping people understand that it's easier not to have them than to try to negotiate how. And we only do this one meal at a time. We never talk about the rest of our lives because that's too overwhelming. So that's the first pillar, eliminating our trigger foods. Second pillar is community support. This is really important. Some people even suggest that addiction is lack of community and loneliness. So I offer a beautiful, you know, global community of people all trying to do the same thing, where we support each other, celebrate each other's successes, help each other when we struggle. And the third pillar is mindfulness and spirituality. Addictive eating is often mindless eating. And so one of the antidotes is mindfulness. And then spirituality is not religion. We do not talk about religion in my program. That's very personal. But rather, spirituality helps with the self-esteem issues that often come along with living in a larger body. So we kind of, that pillar is all about remembering our worth, understanding our value, and getting back to basics of that beautiful being that you were born to be. And then at the top of the house, what we're all trying to do is achieve peace and neutrality for food, with food. So what I call food serenity, returning to food for its rightful purpose, which is to nourish our bodies, honor our bodies, and no longer using food to numb out or stress relief or comfort, not using it for what was never intended. So that's the program in a nutshell.
I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are appreciative of this program being in place, and you're helping a lot of folks through this. Well, well done there. As we conclude today, how are you able to achieve lifelong results through food addiction recovery treatment?
Yeah, so the lifelong results really come from changing your relationship with yourself first, and then changing your relationship with food. So this is not about a diet, not about restricting, not about, you know, trying to get to some goal, but rather I start with the relationship with myself, which is the most important relationship you will ever have with your in your lifetime is with yourself. And yet very few of us spend the time, consideration, and energy cultivating something that is kind, gentle, and nurturing. And then second of all, I really help people have a shift in perception when it comes to food. So viewing real whole foods as food, and then viewing everything else as chemically engineered, highly addictive, food-like substances, right? It's tricky. Dorito looks like food, but it's not. There's nothing about it that's real. And also attaching a price tag, knowing that those foods come with a huge emotional price tag, physical price tag, and mental price tag that we are no longer willing to pay.
Again, Sandra, we thank you for what you do in the space and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. If one wanted to be in touch with you or tap into your services, or of course, the Food Addiction Recovery Program, where can listeners get further information?
You can visit my website at sandraelia.com. So it's Sandra, SandraElia.com. And I welcome anybody to reach out to me, even just for a free consultation where we can chat about your journey. And I'm always giving away free value and helping people get set onto the path. And you can find out more about my program there.
And that certainly sounds easy enough, and we'll leave a link within the show notes of this broadcast as well to be helpful. Again, Sandra, all the best. Happy holidays, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much.
Again, we've been speaking with Sandra Aaliyah, certified food addiction counselor and a pioneer in the field of overcoming addictive eating. And for all the details and for information, of course, on the Food Addiction Recovery Program, visit sandraaaliyah.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.